So that as those moves increase, the change of the relationship can be made. So the counter rock is, how you say, it's not really a manifestation of Brajadam. Means there'll be living entities in that rasa, but basically they're expansions of, you know, the Sandini potency. Like that. But the, how you say? Yeah. Transcendental, so serving then is projected within, then this loving attachment, how you say, is mixed with awe and submission. Right? So it has that there. So then next is then, whenever there's an air of unrestrained enjoyment without reverence, or in other words, a sense of trust and confidence is awakened, then it's termed as affectionate amorous love, pranai. And this is considered under the transcendental mellow of friendly relationship, shakya. Right? So it's given the basis of how it works. So there's unrestrained enjoyment, means there's nothing to hold it back, right? Because Dasya Shanta, then there's rules, or there's different elements that, out of respect, it won't go beyond a certain point. Does that make sense? So here is that there's nothing to stop it from going beyond that. You know, unless you're in a situation that doesn't allow. You know, it may be, you one has to be more careful, but the mood can be expressed. You know, if your mother just showed his house, you have to be a little more careful than if you're outside. But the affection has no obstacle, right? Maybe the manifestation of it might, but it itself has nothing to restrain it, right? So this is the amorous love pranai. Okay. So we notice here is also we're taking it up through, okay, intent attachment with him. Okay. Loving attachment. Okay, so he doesn't give the Sanskrit on that. They missed it on him. Loving attachment. Not sure what attachment is. I think it's the root. Oh. And this is okay. In case this mellow is admixed enough with tenderness, sneha, then it may very well be considered as parental relationships, vatsalya. See, each one is deepening. It means the last one, the next one contains the ones before, because there's something added to it. Right? In other words, there is how do you say? Loving attachment. Right? Intent attachment. But it's because of the unreverence, then it will stay in dasya. When it's unrestrained, without reverence, you know, trust, confidence is there because, you know, you could do anything and it'll still work. Then you get this pranai. Okay, then when that is there, then you add, how you say, the tenderness, because the other is just, you know, direct and very, you know, like boys will, you know, wrestle and fight and do everything like that. But when it is that gentleness, that tenderness, then that's a care, then that brings in the parental. Right? That's the element that makes the parental come out. Okay? Does that make sense? Is that you're trying to... Yeah. Okay. When all the qualities of parental relationship become highly coveted, then this relationship is turned into erotic sentiment, and this erotic sentiment is the highest of all transcendental mellows. Right? Highly coveted, you know, so then there's the element of the jealous anger, the man and all those things, they start to come in. Like that. Because there's 10 stages of prema. Right? So your bhava, I mean, how you say, away from Brajadam. They don't even technically consider Shantaras within Raja, like that. It's there, but it's not something that one in Shantaras attains to. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like that. Yes.
That was actually my question, but the last thing. What does it mean? Can somehow comprehend that is spirited while the subject of love is away from Rajaram?
I'm not exactly sure, because we're having to rely on the translation, and probably the point is those things that the translator understands, they translate well. Those things they don't, unless they stick to just technical. Mm-hmm. Spirited means it has a mood, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not that mood, there's a desire to do anything. You just like being around, like being, you know what I'm saying? It's not that you're specifically rendering a service as such.
So like the trees in...
Yeah, it means they're doing something, but it's basically, it's not a dynamic interaction as such. They're doing something, they're providing shade, they're providing flowers, they're providding... But it's in other words, they're adding to the environment. They are not the relationship itself.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like the cows, it's not so much it's the relationship, it enhances relationships that are going on. Right? He has a relationship with them, you know, Shanta Ras. They appreciate him, and so he reciprocates that. But it's not dynamic, because
mm-hmm.
it's just appreciation. So basically, does that make sense?
It's like a passive, yeah.
It's passive, yeah. Yeah. So it doesn't become dynamic. That's the...
And then the subject of love is away from Rajadam?
The subject of love... Oh, no. It says passive or neutral is spirited while the subject of love is away from Rajadam. Means it's spirited when the subject is away. You know what I'm saying? When he's not there, then it's spirited, I guess. Maybe it gets more the separation. You get some idea of that. Yeah, because dasya will be to the person, and it's inside, and there it may be. Yeah, it's not exactly clear here. We'd have to check another translation.
Okay.
Enjoyment and appreciation of this relationship can be experienced only through rendering service to any associates of Sri Radha Krishna, considering oneself to be submissively protected while staying at Rajadham. Right? Submissively protected, so one's a maintainer and one's protector. So in other words, one is under the associates of Radha and Krishna. Does that make sense? Lord Sri Krishna is eternally full of knowledge, Sat-Chit, in his constitutional form. And the knowledge of eternal bliss, different from him, is Srimati Radhika. The confident Sakis of all blissful Radhika pertain to a particular mood of herself, and accordingly they comprise of an embodiment of array. Probably means variety. Inasmuch as those confidence are the embodiment of any array under the superior energy, they are also the manifestation of the constitutional form of superior energy. When the required requirement of love for Krishna is fulfilled and the living entity is purified, he is then considered to be one among the valets of these confidence and starts enjoying eternal blissful existence, remaining ever charged with the pleasure of offering service to Radha Krishna, which state of existence is the highest requirement of all living entities. This is really an amazing mood of knowledge of eternal absolute truth. There is no existence of such an amazingly blissful mood in the state of liberation, consequently to the annihilation of indiscriminatory Brahman. Right? So it's indiscriminatory Brahman. So that's the difference of, so when we're using this element of Brahman understanding, we're discriminating. Because we're discriminating, this is Krishna, the experience is Krishna, so you're seeing that all these different things then are non-different. Right? Does that make sense? It's not that you're experiencing that everything is Brahman, everything, that element of it, because then there's no distinctions in what it is. That makes sense?
Yes.
So we're appreciating the element of Brahman, but there is the always the element of appreciating the difference. Right. Does that make sense?
As propounded by Srila Rupa Goswami, thus, so this is the Adau Shraddha. In the first stage, there should be respect. Then an association with the saintly person should develop out of that respect. Right? So if there's no... So generally we take Shraddha, faith. So that faith is there's a respect for the process. Right? So if there's no respect for the process, then we see that the faith doesn't really manifest. Doubts arise. Does that make sense? This is the point of vichar, is you study it from different angles, so you get different ways of translating it, different ways of looking at it. Because we generally just say faith, okay. So faith is there, but is the respect there? So that faith with respect for it, then you see it, yes. It would have to, because the point is if there's not, how else will you associate with a saintly person if you don't have respect? You know what I'm saying? So it would have to, there would have to be, that element would have to be there. Then the process of worshipping will start, inspired by the association of the saintly persons. Right, so that the worshipping means that following the rules and regulations that would be there in the sadhana in relationship to the deity and all the ritualistic aspects would come up. So that's the bhajan, would be your certain practice of sadhana. Then there will be gradual elimination of various unhappy occurrences, anartha, as a result of devotional processes of worshipping. Right, so unhappy occurrences means... there's obstacles, we look at it that, but what does that generate? That generates unhappy experience. Right? Because the point is, as you develop in Krishna consciousness, there's technically no unhappy experience. Right? Unhappy experience comes because we are attached to something in the material world, and therefore we consider that by obtaining something we like, then that's good, we're happy, and not obtaining it, or there's an obstacle in it, then we're unhappy. That makes sense? Yes.
That'd be like, you feel pain, but you don't suffer?
Yeah. Yeah. Because the point is you can also... When what you want, you don't get, that's when you feel bad. But if you don't want something, then by not getting it, it doesn't make you feel bad. Does that make sense?
Yes.
When a higher taste and inclination for leading a spiritual life will develop from the elimination of unhappy occurrences, resulting in a mood of ecstasy, which will ultimately give rise to the awakening of divine love. So here he's taking it through. Higher taste, right? Then there will be a gradual elimination of unhappy occurrences, nartha nivritti, as a result of the worship, the process of worship. So in other words, he's put two into one. The anarthas will go away, so then that means you're situated in nishta. Right? Does that make sense? So you can see that in this sentence there. Right? There'll be a gradual elimination of various unhappy occurrences as a result of the devotional process of worship. So those will go, and then, you know, the result is then you're in a stage that it doesn't have them. Because point is bhajana kriya is anishta and nishta. So anartha nivritti is what makes the difference. So you're practicing it. So by removing those, then you'll be fixed on nishta. Because point is, bhajana kriya is the process, but it's technically, in this definition, would be anishta. It's not stable. So then by the practice of anarthas are removed, it means it will become stable. So in that way, you can either... describe it as a separate stage, or you can describe like it is here, that they're together. You know, in other words, what's being used here is a ditransitive verb. Right? You're getting rid of the anarthas means you will be situated without anarthas. Does that make sense?
Yes.
like that. Means you milk the cow means you have milk in the bucket. So you got the milk out of the cow, that's the one thing, but you got milk into the bucket is the second thing. Does that make sense? So this is the importance in understanding this. Otherwise, someone may say, oh, he doesn't mention all the processes here. Right? That's what the grammar is for, is so one understands all these different aspects. Okay? Then a higher taste, that's ruchi, and an inclination for leading a spiritual life will develop from the elimination of unhappy encourages, resulting in a mood of ecstasy, which will ultimately give rise to awakening of divine love. So mood of ecstasy, here it means, how do you say? An inclination for leading a spiritual life. Inclination means there's an attachment, or that's the thing there. Or you could take it here that the mood of ecstasy, it's the mood, but it hasn't quite attained. And then giving rise to the awakening of divine love. So that gradual awakening, which will ultimately give rise. So the giving rise, that would be your bhava, and then the divine love would be prema. Or you're taking this part, which will give rise to prema, and so the mood of ecstasy would be bhava. Does that make sense? So you're getting them all, but he's just explaining them very, very pleasantly. So it's not just always so analytical like that. Because, in other words, the first paper was more technical. Now the second paper, on the same subject, he's writing more from the mood of getting that broader understanding, and so it's more able to be assimilated. Right? The first one is so the intelligence catches it. This one is so that the mind accepts it. Right. The other name of divine love is erotic sentiment, which becomes crystallized, rati, gradually has turned into parental affection, dignity, amorous love, transcendental mellow, attraction, heightened move in the final stage. So here, rati, because bhava is also known as rati, so it also could be he's bringing it up to this point. Then it turns into one of the five rasas. Right, and in here is that he's also taking these through, is that he's overlaying the rasas, the five rasas, on the 10 stages of bhava. I mean 10 stages of prema. Does that make sense? So then we're going through here is that parental affection, because we mentioned before, is that, okay, that's rati. Then dignity, you get iman, amorous love, transcendental mellow, attraction, and heightened mood in the final stage. So the person just didn't put in the Sanskrit words. If they did, it would be more clear. Probably because they themselves didn't catch what was happening. You know what I'm saying? Where they did, then they leave it. This process, in a heightened mood in the final stage, that's mahabhav. Right? This process of the development of spiritual love may very well be compared to the process of preparing sugarcane into its juice, then turning it into molasses, then into slices of candy and to sugar, and finally into alcohol and sweetmeats of various tastes of the highest degree. Right? So in other words, you're taking the one, and then from that you're extracting the juice, and then it becomes deeper and deeper and deeper. Right? Does that make sense? 10 maxims comprised of the valuable instructions of Sri Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, imparted to Rupa, Sanatana, and others. This treatise is the essence of those 10 maxims. Anyone aspiring to be a pure Vaishnava upon accepting the instructions of Sriman Mahaprabhu must at first acquire this essence of 10 maxims. The spiritual master will show him all the aspects within this essence in brief. Out of respect and reverence, one may take shelter at the lotus feet of the spiritual master. From the lotus feet of the spiritual master, one is elevated to the level of instruction in worshipping. By way of worshipping, there will be elimination of unhappy occurrences, but one can attain the stage of a static mood through intent, dedication, and sincerity only. Right? In other words, through following the rituals, you can situate yourself properly in devotional service. Right? And that will then
in other words, you've freed yourself of the material contamination. That is as a drive. But it's only by, so through following the rules, I mean, not the rules, yeah, by following the process of the form, right? Your particular sadhana, the schedules, the regulations that are there in the deity worship and in our various aspects of sadhana. But he's saying that, but if you're going to get through to the point of ecstatic mood or come to the point of bhava, then it's through the intent, dedication, and sincerity only. It means you have to want to develop prema. Right? In other words, the one is you're performing sadhana because it's spiritual life, this, you're purifying yourself, and that's what it will do. But if you want to develop love for Krishna, then you have to be intent on that's what you want to do and be sincere about it. You can't just say, yes, yes, I'm a great devotee. Or, you know, you have to actually have that mood. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like that. So there's two things going on at once. Okay? So always remember Krishna means that you're going to be intently practicing. Never forget means you're following all the different rules and regulations that properly situate you in devotional service. And you advance. Right? And you become situated very nicely. But prema is going to be gotten through this intent, dedication, and sincerity. Right? Does that make sense? The first aspect of worshipping the Lord is to acquire the 10 maxims. Upon imbibing the disciple with the essence of 10 maxims, the spiritual master will perform 5 sacramental purifications on the disciple. Okay, now he's going to explain initiation. So here it says the essence, or with essence in brief, show him all the aspects within this essence in brief. So he's saying that the spiritual master is going to show them this. He's not saying how that's going to be done. Does that make sense? So as devotees, at least in the earlier days, they understood, we're not this body, we're servants of Krishna, right? Krishna is God, we're his servant, right? Your sambandha is done. Right? So that right there took care of all the, how you say, the first 7 items, right? Means you had to approach authority, it's not speculative, only through the spiritual master, through the bona fide, you know, literatures, then that can be understood. So therefore you're getting your praman, and then, you know, the aspects of Godhead and the aspects of the jiva, right? We've all heard that they're conditioned and they're liberated, you know, constitutional. We've heard Krishna is the absolute truth, everything is coming from him, right? That, and we've understand that, you know, he's the ocean of rasa, right? So all these are there. Then we've heard of Achintabheda Veda Tattva, and then there's the process is you want to develop love for God, and the process is through chanting Hare Krishna. Does that make sense? So that means these 10 were always given. It's just being aware that that's what was given. You know what I'm saying? It's complete. In other words, when you understand Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana, you have that complete process. Sambandha, Krishna, the living entity, you know, and their relationship there, how the material energy is engaged, right? We're going to develop love for Krishna, we want to please Krishna, and the process is through chanting the holy name, through the Sankirtan, right? So every devotee, you know, would be taught this, right? It's very clear. This is the dasamul in essence. Does that make sense? So when Prabhupada says everything's in his books, he means it. It's just a matter of you being able to understand it. Right? Means you understand it in exactly this form. Nice. You don't, but you still know the same knowledge. Does that make sense? Like that. Okay, so now then, after they've been trained in the 10 maxims, in other words, you've understood the basis of the philosophy, you've understood the Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana, then there is initiation. The significance of this verse may be put forward in brief thus. Whenever there's a little awakening of reverence in the heart of a disciple, he approaches a genuine spiritual master.
Before coming to the lotus feet of the spiritual master, the disciple must have undergone a lot of suffering and repentance. I must have been suffering greatly as fallen in the dreadful ocean of material existence. O protector of the fallen souls, please accept me mercifully at your lotus feet, considering me as a dust particle. Because there is none to protect me, lamenting thus, the disciple falls prostrate at the feet of his spiritual master. Right? So that's tapa. No one, unless aggrieved like this, is eligible to get initiated. Right? That makes sense? Okay. This is where the fun starts, at least for me. Because everybody is quick to, you know, pick up the first stone when they talk about what are the qualities of a spiritual master. I have never heard anyone in a discussion of this matter talk about the qualification of the disciple. So right here it said, if you don't understand the philosophy, you don't have this kind of understand the material world is a place of suffering and I don't belong here, and the only way to get out of here is through the mercy of the spiritual master and his instruction. And in that mood then, you know, you please take care of me. That kind of mood, that is what is required. And we're not talking about, you know, it was some epiphany, you know, one time here. It means this is the constant mood. Like that. You want to have fun? In the appendix of the second volume of the Pancharatra Pradeep, there is a list of the qualifications of a disciple for initiation. You read those and you might wonder how you ever, you know, got in the door. Okay. No one, unless aggrieved like this, is eligible to get initiated, and the spiritual master makes an assessment of the prospective disciple by way of putting him through a spell of feverish activities. Right? Because otherwise they'd just come and say it, but then he is given services to perform, and in that you can understand if that's actually the attitude. Right? Sri Chaitanya Dev, the most merciful savior in the age of struggle and turmoil, an embodiment of the universal spiritual master, ordered that his disciple's body to be decorated with sandalwood paste and other things. First of all, the prospective resplendent devotee should put on symbolic tilak, signs of Hari, temples and other auspicious items. So this is the second, this is pundram, right? Tapa pundram tata nama, mantra yagasha panchama. Right? Okay, so we're going through, these are the five aspects this of initiation. So the first one is tapa. You understand the material world is a place of misery. Right? So that's understood by the neck beads. You know, that's why going out and selling them, you know, to make money and then calling it, you know, preaching or something, you might have missed the point. No, that's called business. Right? The neck beads means I understand this material world is a place of suffering. And I went out of here, right? Means I have been suffering greatly as fallen in the dreadful ocean of material existence. O protector of this fallen souls, please accept me mercifully at your lotus feet, considering me as a dust particle, because there is none to protect me. Right? That is the neck beats. Okay? Then, Lord Chaitanya has ordered that the disciple's body be decorated with tilak. Right? So that's pundra. Because then if you're going to get out of the material world, where are you going to go? Right? You have to go up. So it's the upward path. Urdhva pundra. Means pundra is there, but what kind of pundra? So urdhva pundra. Right? So you're taking the upward path. In other words, the path of Krishna consciousness. Okay. At the time of repentance, these 10 maxims should very well be used as a means to perpetrate such repentance in a prospective devotee. He should be advised to practice wearing 12 tilak signs. This is the occasion when a disciple is said to be newly born. Hence, he should very well be given a devotional and spiritual name, right? So this is nama. It is essential to have a clear understanding of the self-identity and the constitutional form of the self at this stage. In other words, if you're going to get a name like Krishna Das, you should know who is Krishna and who is the Das, right? Does that make sense? So if you don't understand the aspects of philosophy, then how you'll be actually a Das, right? The servant.
So then, because of that, then it's like second birth, then you get a name, Nam. Okay? Right, so he's second born from the mentality. It is along with it, he should also be given the Maha Mantra in the name of Hare Krishna and his relationship with the living entity. Right. So in other words, upon acquainting the disciple with the substance of the Maha Mantra, the spiritual master will then fully pronounce his disciple with the true significance of relationships with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, once one comes to this stage, right, then he begins this makes him fully aware of Krishna and relationships with Krishna. Right? Before that, we just know him as Godhead, right? Who the jiva is, the material world, everything like that. Then at that point, we can see here at the end, he's discussing this, then he starts explaining the relationships. Right? In other words, then this ninth aspect has come into play. Right? So this part of it here is you're getting the name and you're getting the Maha Mantra, right? So here's the clarity of where it is. So it's been split at this point. So this is what we call first initiation, right? But you see is that before the second birth is he's already got the neck beads and the pundra, right? It's part of the process. Some do it at the time, but like you see when the initiation is there, you get new neck beads, because then it's like you've actually accepted that process. Does that make sense? So those three go together very nicely, because that is part of the whole process of diksha. It's just we've split it into two. It's one process. It's just we put it into two halves so that the disciple has more time to assimilate, develop the proper attitude, proper qualities, and all that. The five forms of sacramental purification, samskar, will be the rituals through the process of offering service to the black goad. Okay, as the symbol of Vishnu, and to the deity, so that a living entity now involved in material relationship may very well be rendered steadfast in developing true relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. Okay. So now he's given the shaligram, is the worship, and then the mantras that would go along with that. So the idea is that he's involved in material relationships, now he'll be involved in spiritual with the Lord. Right? Does that make sense? So he'll worship Shaligram and the deity, so the living entity now involved in material relationship may very well be rendered steadfast in developing true relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. Now he's engaged in material, but by through worship of the deity, then he'll start to develop his relationship, the actual relationship with the Supreme Lord. That makes sense? Right? The process of five sacramental purification, pancha samskar, is classified into two categories, elementary and final. Right, so see this point of splitting it. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used it like this, made it, formalized it. What we can see is Bhakti Vinod Thakur is talking about it as this is just the process. So sometimes they say, well, he started this, Bhakti Siddhanta, but he formalized it. Bhakti Vinod Thakur actually is the one who pointed it out. Right, so no one's generating something new. Right, creating something new. So this idea that Prabhupada would create something new that no one ever has done and no one agrees with and everybody, every sampradaya thinks is bogus, but because he's the acharya, he would do it. But acharya teaches by example, not by makes his own process. Right? So therefore this concept, like let's say the Ritvik, you know, saying, well, he can create it. No. It doesn't work like that. Right?
For a person who is already in a state of a loving relationship with the Godhead, the process of offering service mentally may be considered tantamount to the act of worship. Sriman Mahaprabhu delivered his conclusive advice to Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, saying this. Oh, that was a kirtan upstairs. One should never listen to any vulgarity, nor converse in a vulgar dialect. One should not take any delicious foodstuff, nor use any luxurious clothing. Being respectful even to an unrespectable person, one should practice chanting the holy name of Sri Krishna at all the time, and practice offering service to Radha and Krishna in Brajadam, mentally even. In the first three lines of the verse stated above, a clear instruction is given to a devotee, impregnated with devotional ecstasy, on the physical aspect of purification. In the concluding two lines of the said verse, there is the instruction as to the process of worshipping and offering service to the Lord, to the Godhead. The manifestation of worshipping is enough in accepting the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, for regular chanting with an attitude of respect to the unrespectable even. Right? The process of mental worshipping service to Radha and Krishna in Brajadam is the most confidential aspect in this respect. The service is prescribed for all the eight periods of an entire day, including night, namely daybreak, early morning, forenoon, afternoon, twilight, evening, and night. The spiritual master will advise the disciple in this matter in accordance with relevant scriptures, because unhappy occurrences cannot be prevented unless the process of worshipping is practiced properly after acquiring the essence of ten maxims. Okay, so here is also we see is that he's taking this and this form, Panja Samskara, he's taking it also from this, is that he's not engaged in anything of this material like that. And he's then, yeah, not being involved. So in other words, the bad sides of it are not there. He's taking the upward path out of it, right? And then, you know, having this right attitude of being respectful, he should then chant the holy name, right? Then comes this worship. So that worship either can be through yaga, means of the worship of the deity, in through the pancharatrik method, or it can also mean through meditation, absorption. Right. In other words, whatever stage the person may be at, then those things are accomplished. Right. But in either way, we see we have two aspects. There's always a lower and a higher. Right. So one is being situated in the devotional process. The other is then developing that relationship with the Lord. You're getting out of the material world and taking up the process, identifying oneself, and then worshiping the Lord. So the other is also leaving off all these other things in the material world, leaving also the nice things in the world, and coming to the point of being absorbed in Krishna. Does that make some sense? Yes.
Mahaprabhu says that we should not eat nice food stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But Srila Prabhupada says we are kitchen religion.
Yeah.
So how does this so together?
Who are you cooking for?
For the Lord.
And then what are you eating?
Prasad.
Right, so you're not cooking for yourself.
Yeah.
Does that work?
But it doesn't speak about, you know, offering the Lord. It says one should not take any delicious food stuff.
Okay. So all the prasad that we make should taste bad. So what we can do is Piti Babu can get, you know, a bottle of Kalmeg. Very healthy. And after cooking all the nice things for the deities, then he can come out and liberally sprinkle Kalmeg in all the preparations. Or if you want some variety, you can put Kalmeg in some, and we can put, you know, we can get a bottle of that condensed cow urine, you know? You know, and put that in some other preparation. So then you'll be happy. Sure. You can start tomorrow.
So what is this like?
Means you're not endeavoring for yourself to eat nicely. Right?
So that's what it means. The grihastha, he makes nice arrangements to eat nicely himself. Right? But here you're cooking for the Lord. So that means in any case, you're cooking for the Lord, then whatever it is, then that's what you eat. You just accept what comes. So in other words, you're accepting whatever the Lord provides. Right? But what you make for Krishna is nice to eat.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Right? In other words, if there comes occasion where it's just whatever comes along and what it is not necessarily something fancy, you don't think, oh, I don't want to eat this because it's not what I wanted. It's not nice, it's not fancy, it's not special. Right? It's just, this is what Krishna sent, so this is what you eat.
Yes.
Right? Just thinking of peanuts and bananas on the side of the road in on Braj Mandal or Parikram.
Just a cultural aspect.
A cultural aspect.
It's like today for prasadam, you know, we had the sweet rice with pumpkin inside.
Sweet rice with pumpkin inside. Did you peel the pumpkin first?
Yeah.
Or?
So like
did you cut it up?
Yes.
What about taking out the seeds?
Also.
Did you cook it?
Yes.
Okay.
And so, you know, when I was serving, you know, some boys were like, no, it's pumpkin inside, you know. They don't go together. I said, come on, it's prasad from the Lord. He says, maybe nursing there just tolerated it.
The point is that who worked out what is cooking and what's menus? Who has said this? You know what I'm saying? It's that you said this.
No.
Oh, okay. You know, so in other words, so if they're so expert at cooking, then maybe tomorrow they should do the cooking. You know, because since they know that, you know, what actually the Sringadev eats and what he only tolerates. Maybe he only tolerates them. It's just like this. They haven't seen that form, but I'm saying it's a very, I don't know, I think it's just unique to America. I'm not sure, maybe because they have millions of pumpkins, but they make this thing pumpkin pie, right? Which is pumpkin is made in a pie, it's sweet and like that. It's got condensed milk and other things. So milk and pumpkin go together quite well. You know what I'm saying? Along with mom and apple pie, of course. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
Of course, that one won't mean anything to anybody except probably an American. But. Okay? So the thing is how did they decide pumpkin and milk don't go together?
It's a vegetable.
It's a vegetable. So who said vegetables don't go with milk? They don't seem to mind, you know, various milk products with their vegetables. We put ghee or butter or cream or, you know, cheese. They don't seem to mind. So how is it vegetables go with everything else? Right? Milk doesn't go with salt. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Milk goes with sugar. So then, you know, pumpkin can be sweet. Yeah? You weren't the one.
No.
Okay, okay, okay. Okay.
Yeah, you know, some guy was.
Does this make sense? Okay, no, because now we're going to go into the anartas. Okay, because that'll be a longer discussion. So is there anything else on this? Yes.
Here. It's after the initiation, or during the initiation, that upon acquainting the disciple with the substance of the Mahamantra, the spiritual master will then fully pronounce the disciple with the true significance of relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
So, then during initiation, then actually the spiritual master establishes the sambandha, the relationship.
Yeah, because it says you're born again.
So then, what is the need of the initiation?
Born again Vaishnavas. Are you born again? That's right. We're worried about you. What is the insignia? Is it a reinitiation? It basically is a process that makes everybody feel good. You understand? Technically, it has no, it's not required. There's no requirement for reinitiation. It's technically just something to make people feel good. This guy fell down, and so I don't like him, so therefore I want to be connected with someone else. Rather than, this guy fell down, but he gave me significant things, but the problem is what he gave me is good, but he's not able to continue giving me anything good. So therefore, I take shelter of other Vaishnavas, take direction and instruction from them, and in this way continue my spiritual life. Problem is position A, anybody can do it. Position B means there must be some maturity. So that's the problem. So for those who are not, then the thing is good. If you explained it to them, everybody would understand and be quite happy that they don't have to be reinitiated. But if it's not explained, then they're quite happy to be reading it because they just are happy with whatever they're supposed to do.
Could it be also like that actually disciples or the disciple may not be very mature, so then he may feel ashamed that his spiritual master fall down? So then
yes, but if you're looking at it from the thing of social, custom and all those things, that Raghunath Das was told to not get involved in, then that might be true. So that's called Gramya Katha. Confirmed. Okay? So it's not necessary, but the point is it's just a matter of explanation. Because the point is you're connected with whoever is giving the instruction. So if you don't want to be connected with that person, you're not, because you're getting it from this person. Mm-hmm. But you can't say that you didn't make advancement in the past and you weren't happy with it. So that remains. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So like that. That's the process. It's just a matter of education. It's just a matter of explaining. That makes sense? Okay. Tomorrow, right? Tomorrow.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, yeah, so we should finish tomorrow, then basically move on. What's the next one after this? Shiksha. So we may start with it tomorrow, this depends on the discussion. Otherwise, Monday definitely.
What does it mean to be being respectful, even to an unrespectable person? To be respectful to even an unrespectable person.
I mean someone who you wouldn't necessarily be would be in a position of respect, but you still respect them. Because you see a lot of times the tendency is if someone's in a position you respect them, and if they're not you couldn't care less. Like that. But that means you're respectful. What it basically means is you're respectful to everybody. To all people, to all living entities. You behave nicely. Okay.